It's awesome to watch people when like something really exciting happens, you know, or someone that's like unexpected but really special all of a sudden shows up. It's really cool to see people's reaction of like, I left a lot of stuff to trip on up here, so I'm going to move it. It's awesome to see people just like their faces light up and then they scream, just like that video, like, what? He's playing at my wedding? Like, what's going on? And this week we were thinking about Easter and I was talking to some people in my office and we're really pumped about the Superman Batman movie. Are you guys pumped about that coming out? Yes, Friday. Actually, Thursday if you want a sneak peek, right? So we're so excited about this deal. And here we are sitting in like the coolest holiday of the year. You guys know what holiday it was, right? Like, I mean, we just did an Easter egg hunt.
Yeah.
I was a rabbit a second ago. You get it, right? It's Easter. And there's a lot of things that are like, hey, listen, I'm really cool. Get excited about me. And we have, as believers, the coolest, most powerful, most incredible person wanting to be a part of our life. And kind of like we saw in that skit, it's almost like, yeah, I'm excited about it at first. And then all of a sudden when he is finally there, you know, it's like, shouldn't my reaction be like, what? Jesus is here. Like, this is awesome. Sometimes I find myself going, Jesus, you just chill. Like, stay here. Like, you're cool when I want you around, but right now, like, I'd rather go do this. And it's easy to push Jesus aside for the things we know he'd be too thrilled about if he saw us doing it. And so tonight, as we're continuing our series of the church and who we are as believers, like, we're a family, we're the body of Christ. Tonight, we're going to look at what makes us that. Like, what's so special about that deal? Where's the power come from of us being a family? Like, why does Jesus even care about that? And how do you get that excitement when the guest of honor shows up at our party in our house? You realize we're a family, like this is our house tonight as we get together as believers. Is Jesus here? Or is this a group of people that's just kind of getting together to have some fun, chase some eggs, sing some music? Or do we really believe that the guest of honor is Jesus Christ tonight right here as we remember Easter? The holiday where we remember that he conquered death. Literally, he said, death, you can't have any of these people. They're mine. They're mine. You can't have them. I'm beating death so that they can live forever with me. You realize that? As we celebrate Easter, we're celebrating the fact that we, if we believe in Christ, are living forever. Forever. So why aren't we jumping up and down and so excited like we saw in that movie over some dumb singer who shows up? Yay, Adam Levine. Holy cow, Jesus Christ is here tonight. And I believe that. I'm excited. I don't know if you are. I'm excited that Jesus is here and that he walks with me every single day. That's exciting. Because that's the best news I can ever get. So will you guys open real quick? We're not going to spend a ton of time, but Acts chapter 2. Pop open to Acts 2. If you want a Bible, there's some there. Otherwise, look at the screens. Acts chapter 2, verses 41 to 47. We're just going to look at a few of these verses. I'm not even going to go through them all tonight. I'm going to save a few for next week. But I want to show you something tonight. Acts 2, 41, it says, so those who received his word were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship and to the breaking of bread and the prayers. Check this verse out. And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. We're going to stop right there and save the rest for next week. But I want you to see something here because Peter had just gotten up in the middle of like Pentecost just happened. All these crazy Galileans who weren't very educated were speaking all these languages. They're just walking around and they're like speaking and people are understanding from like other countries and like, how do you speak my language? Like, what's going on right now? And like, there's crazy power is happening right here. And all these people are standing around just like, what's going on? Peter gets up and in front of all these people, he preaches a sermon. And it wasn't like he didn't have cool spotlights and like smoke machines and awesome videos and like sweet stuff. He didn't have a microphone. He just stands up. It was dry, but he was preaching something. The truth. The truth is all Peter needed for 3,000 people to get saved that day. 3,000 people hear the truth, and it was enough. He preached how Jesus had died for them, how he was God, and how he rose again to conquer death and forgive you of your sin. These people are hearing that going, he did that for me? 3,000 of them, after hearing what I just told you, were like, I want to get saved. I want him to forgive my sin. I want eternal life. And sometimes I feel so spoiled being able to hear that every single day. I read my Bible every day and have believers around me who tell me that every day. I'm so spoiled with that. And I look at my life and sometimes I'm like, Rob, how come you're not more excited? And I think we're going to find out why. Check this out. We see 3,000 people. It says those who received his word. You see, these people didn't just hear some cool story. He didn't just like preach like, hey, there's a sweet guy named Jesus and he turns water into wine. He's great. You should see him raise dead people to life. Spit on you, sorry. That wasn't it. It wasn't just stories. It says they didn't just hear it. They received his word. So this truth that he's talking about, Jesus is real. Y'all, Jesus is real. You just saw him because he was on earth and you saw him with your eyes and he went on this cross and he died and then he rose again. And they're like, yeah, we know. We believe Jesus is real. And we're sitting here 2,000 years later and I'm standing up here trying to convince you that this was a real dude. And you're like, that's a history book. Truth is kind of just different for everybody. And I'm having to convince you that this guy's real. They're going, we know he's real. We know it. And we receive the word you're saying. In other words, I'm not going to just like, yeah, that's a good job, Peter. Nice sermon. I'm taking the truth that you just told me and I'm changing my life because of it. I'm receiving it. I'm believing it with all my heart and I'm living that way. My life's changing because now I believe that he's real, that he's God, and that he rose again like we're celebrating right now for Easter. I'm receiving it. And then 3,000 of these people do that. And they were baptized. The baptism didn't save them. Baptism was a way for people to go, you really believe that? And as you're baptized, it's a symbol that you died with Christ just like him and you rose again so people can say they're a believer. And Jesus says to do it so we can tell people that. It's an act of obedience for us. I don't know if some of y'all are believers and you still haven't been baptized. You need to be baptized. Your first command from Jesus after you get saved is to be baptized. If that's something you need to do tonight, come talk to me after so we can do that for you. And these people knew that. They were baptized, it says. And 3,000 accepted Christ because they heard the truth. What does it take for you? What does it take to get your attention? What does it take for you to go, I wonder if Jesus is real? Does it take shows, lights, and somebody hounding you every day? Or do you come with an open heart saying, I want to hear the truth. Just tell me the truth. And I'll receive it if you tell me the truth. So I'm telling you the truth tonight. I'm counting on the Holy Spirit to do a work in your hearts tonight to say, Jesus Christ loves you more than anything in the world. He is the Son of God and he's died for you. Some of y'all know that, but your life hasn't changed. You're still doing the same exact things like that kid in the skit. Old fat guy in the skit, whatever he was. All right? Your life hasn't changed. You need to receive the truth tonight. You need to make it real. You need to give up that old life. You need to say, Christ, I want to live for you now. What is it going to take for you? It goes on after that. It says in verse 42, those people that were baptized, look what happened to them because they received it. It says they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to breaking of bread and prayer. See that word devoted? You guys know what that means? What does devoted mean? Anybody know? Raise your hand. Who can help me? Devoted. No? I know you know it. You're just too scared because there's people around you, right? Let me help you out. Devoted means that you're totally committed to something to the point where you'll change or get rid of everything else. Everything else. If you're devoted to something, it takes the precedence in your life. It's priority. And so if you say, Jesus, I'm devoted to you, everything else will change based on Jesus. Like, I'm putting you first. And everything else, that means it gets put second or third or fourth or just gets kicked off the list. Because Jesus, you are first. And it says these people were devoted. And I think devotion in church today, in you guys' culture especially, guess what? Devotion just doesn't really exist in the right way. It's there. But we tend to be devoted to the wrong things. We tend to be devoted to sports and athletic events and homework and school and grades and college and American dreams and white picket fences. Hey, where were you at church for the last 4 weeks? Oh, I got soccer practice going on. So you're devoted to soccer. how come you're not getting together regularly with your friends and going over scripture and encouraging them? Well, you see, I got all these tests coming up. So you're devoted to your tests. You see, devotion says the thing that I put first in my life is the thing I'm devoted to. There's no way around that. So my question to you tonight is, we read this and then we see these people, as they said, I believe in Jesus. They said, I'm devoting my life to certain things. Are you devoting your lives to the right things? Because we're all devoting our lives to something. So let's see what they're devoting their lives to. It says, the apostles' teaching is the first thing. The Word of God. Like, you're here tonight, so score. Like, that's first step. Like, there's a check for you on this list. Like, you're here to hear the Word of God. Hopefully not just eggs and with money in them. And hopefully you got some good money. That's cool, too. But that's not why we do church. We don't just want to, like, pay off people to come to church. That's not our deal. I want you to have a good time and love each other and fellowship. But this is it for us right here. The fact that you're hearing the name of Jesus is why we're here. And if you go home and you're like, I didn't hear a word that guy said, I'm thinking, man, we missed it. Because I want so badly for you to hear the name of Jesus and knows He loves you so much that He died for you. And if you come here to this place tonight and you've got sin and you're broken and you're hurting, or your life, you're looking at it going, how could God forgive me? Let me tell you, He forgave me. And that's a big obstacle right there. That is a big job for God to do. I know He can forgive you. And He says it in His Word, so I believe it. I want you to know He loves you no matter what you've done. And He forgives you. And He wants you to be like that kid in the chair and say, God, be real in my life. But not just to pray the prayer, because we do that, don't we? Like, we've been those people who have come forward 100 times in youth group. Every time we hear a story about an orphan, it makes us cry a little bit. And we're like, I gotta go. And then the next week we're out like getting drunk and smoking pot. Doing the same deal. God might be calling you tonight to say, enough is enough. I want you to receive the Word in a real way. I want you to mean it. I want you to devote yourself to me. And this church was devoted to the Word of God because the Word of God is truth. It is the only truth. It's not, oh, these people believe that, and so that's cool. They're going to go to heaven as long as they keep to that. And these people, they're a little different, but no. Everybody can't be right. There's one truth. It's the Word of God. And you need to know that. And you need to devote yourself to that, where you say, I'm pushing everything else aside so I can focus on God's Word to me. Because you can't be like those people in the New Testament and actually be excited like when they saw Adam Levine up here when Jesus comes. Like, yes, Jesus. If you don't know who Jesus is, how are you going to know who He is if you don't read His Word? Because it tells you about Him. It tells you how awesome He is. So when you read it, you're like, that's Jesus? That's the Jesus that just came into my house or into my life? That's the Jesus I believe in? This is awesome. And there's so many Christians that walk in my office and go, I don't know why I'm not excited. Read the Word of God. Find out who He is. Because once you hear about who He actually is, that's going to excite the craziness out of you. But you got to read the Word. So much so, these people devoted their hearts and lives to the Word of God, to the apostles' teaching. So a couple quick questions for you. Ask yourself this. Are you reading the Word of God daily? Are you opening up your Bible like that kid every morning and saying, I'm going to read it? Not just like, oh, put your finger in there, but maybe get a good like devotional book. If you need one, come talk to me. I'll give you one. I'll buy the one you like the best. I don't care. I want you to read God's Word somehow, and I'll do what I need to do to get you to do it. So come talk to me. It's important. It's that important. Are you getting alone with God? Are you praying? Are you coming to church? Are you plugged in somewhere? See what it says next? The apostles' teaching and the fellowship to the breaking of bread. You know what the fellowship is? We talked about it already. Ecclesia. You know what an ecclesia is, you guys? We studied it. Church, the called out people, right? And it talks about them and it uses this word koinonia. That's a cool word, right? Koin sounds like money. Koinonia. It means communion, partnership, togetherness. So God pulls His church together. So the people around you aren't just these random like people that smell a little weird if they're a dude, and some of these girls that smell like vanilla and you're like, oh, you smell good. You know, it's not just like chilling with random people. It's people that actually have been called by God to this place because they love Him, and you share something. There's a partnership between us. We're a family. And we're only a family because God made us that. You know what we share? The gospel. The fact that I can tell you, Jesus took this dirty, rotten, broken me. If you knew how I was, you wouldn't want to be my friend right now. I just believe that. But he came in and he totally changed me. And now I actually love people and I stay away from that stuff and I follow God and he's my whole life. He totally turned me around. And this person over here is going, what? That happened to me too. Like I was like this and then Jesus came and now I'm like this. This is crazy. What's the common denominator? Jesus. The gospel. You guys, for so long now we've been like dead about this. Okay, talking about Jesus again. Go ahead, Rob. I'm excited about it. You can think I'm weird. Go ahead, I don't care. I'm excited about Jesus. You know why I'm excited? Because I believe he's real. I believe he is real. He's more real than I am. And I can't help but get excited about it. The moments where I'm not excited is because I recognize something about myself. I stop recognizing he's really there. Oh, he's cool. He's a legend from the Bible. It's hard to get excited about a legend or a story. But when he's real life sitting in your house next to you, walking next to you every step of the way, how can I not get excited that the God who created everything is right here with me? And so these people looked at Jesus and said, that's the common denominator. We have this awesome fellowship. Are you staying connected with the fellowship? You see, God uses these people around you that you have that bond with to help encourage you. So when you're messing up, they come up and you might hate it 100%, but they call you out for the sin you're getting in. And you're mad at them. You're ticked off. You're like, why would you call me out for that? And then later you realize because they love me, because they want the best for me, and I'm ticked off at you right now. But down the road, I'm going to be so happy that you loved me enough to say something when everyone else chickened out because they don't really care about me. And this fellowship around you, these people that partner to say, you look down today, let me lift you up and hug you and love you and help you. What do you need? Do you need money? Let me help you somehow with that. Do you just need a friend? Let me be here for you. Do you get a lot of work? Let me help share your load, but let me be there for you. Some of us that complain about church all the time and like, I don't really fit in. It's really not that much fun. And you're not really doing church. I'm not being mean. I'm just being honest here. If that's how you feel, you're not doing real church because real church looks like this where you have super awesome relationships with people that come up to you and say, I love you. You're in a great place because I'll do anything to help you. But you also have to be those people, you see. If I'm the only person in the room doing it, it's going to be kind of one way, huh? 1 to 60-something. I'm going to get really tired. But all of a sudden, when you're doing it, and you're doing it, and you're doing it, and you're doing it, all these people around you are like, what? I'm being loved right now? This is awesome. I'm going to start doing that too. And then they start loving the person next to them. And all of a sudden, the family of God is doing what it was designed to do. The fellowship is devoting itself to each other. So here's my question, my next one. First, are you reading God's word? Are you going to church? Are you being taught the word? Are you teaching someone else the word? But second, are you being devoted to the fellowship? Hebrews 10:25 says, not neglecting the assembling of ourselves together. You know what that means? Not saying, oh, well, the body of Christ is getting together to study God's word and pray, but I'm not going to go right now. I got other stuff. I'm really busy. I got things to do. It's saying, I'm devoted to this so that other stuff can wait or get put off. Not because I want you just to come to a little cool program we put on Wednesday nights, but because you need to be plugged in with the body of Christ. You need to be individually getting with God and praying and reading His Word, but you need to be coming to a place where other believers are giving fellowship to you and helping you grow. Or else you're never going to be excited in the way these people were. That awesome Holy Spirit excitement. You're just going to be like, what's church really for? Because you've never seen it work, right? Are you staying plugged in? 1 John 1:3 tells us why. Check this verse out. That which we have seen and heard, we proclaim also. Like we say it, things we heard. So that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus. You know what that means? Two things. If you believe in the gospel of Christ, you get two awesome relationships that happen. The first one is with a body around you, this church, or whatever church, but the body of Christ. And second, with God Himself. Y'all, you need that to grow. But so many of us act like we need soccer to grow. So many of us act like we need tennis to grow, and we need whatever else. You name the list of things that we have going on in our lives. I get it. I'm busy too. But I'll tell you what. You need the body of Christ to grow. Tennis isn't taking you to heaven. Good grades aren't going to take you to heaven. Mom and dad might tell you different. No, I hope not. It might be easy to believe that. Christ is going to bring you to heaven. And He says, be a part of My body so you can grow in Me. Have real relationship. So they were devoted to God's Word, fellowship with the body, and check out this last one, prayer. They were devoted to prayer. How many of you guys believe prayer works? Anybody? Anybody believe it? How many of you? Okay, put your hands down. How many of you guys actually believe prayer works? That was a trick question, I know. Because I believe that most of us raise our hands for those things and don't really mean it. Because I do that a lot. Yeah, I believe it 100% until I look down my day and go, when did I pray today? So you just told me prayer works, but when was the last time you prayed? How often do you pray? What's the first thing you do when you face some sort of hard situation in your life? You go running and screaming to your best friend, help, I don't know what to do. You know, I'm picturing Casey. I don't know why. I'm sorry. That was like you were totally. You knew I was picturing you. Right? Or do you, I'm not saying she does that either. She's funny. Anyway. Or do you go, I got to fall on my knees and pray to God because I can't go anywhere else for this. Do you really believe prayer works? You get what I'm saying? Not just, oh, this would be a cool conversation like this kid in the skit. Like, what do I say? Oh, Holy Father. Like, this will really work. The God of creation is listening to you and He wants you to talk to Him. He says, as you read My word, you hear about Me. And then when you pray, I get to hear from you. It's a relationship. It's a way to say, God, I totally 100% depend on You. I can't do anything on my own, so I pray. I pray as a way to fall on my face and go, God, I need You. God, I can't keep trying. There's nothing else I can do. Y'all, without those three things, we can't have this next piece, this last verse I want to show you, and then we'll be done. Verse 43 says, and awe came upon every soul. You see that word? It's only three letters, awe, A-W-E. It's one weird noise when you say it, awe, say it. It's just fun. Go ahead, be goofy. Awe, I didn't know how to say it right. And awe came on. What does awe mean? Who knows what awe means? You say it when you go to the doctor, right? You stick your thumb in your throat and you're like, and I throw up on it. What? Amazement. Yeah, amazement. Okay, so it says, in amazement came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. Why were they amazed? Right? That's what I thought too. Because there's sweet signs and wonders going on. They're doing miracles. No. Hold on. What's the order of this? Awe came upon every soul. Stop. And over here, many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. If the wonders and signs weren't being done through the apostles at all, guess what? Awe still would have come on every soul. So what was amazing them? My brain automatically just connects it to signs and wonders because it's like, wow, that's awesome. You just like turned fish into spiders. Or I don't know, whatever. That's weird. But a weird place. You know what I'm saying? Like you just spread the waters in half. That's so awesome. That's not what it's saying. Through prayer, the Word of God, and being plugged into the body of Christ, something incredible happens in us. God's able to do some work in you. And He brings awe, this amazement into you. So when Jesus shows up in your house and you open your eyes and He's sitting there, you're going, whoa, Jesus, You're here. When you walk up to this stage and you hear those first drums and the words Jesus come out of the worship leader's mouths, you think not about the worship leader and how they're singing. You're thinking, He just said Jesus. He saved me. Jesus gave me eternal life. And your heart wells up with this amazement that the early church had because Jesus is real to them. Y'all getting worked up tonight. You're not used to seeing this, are you? Why have we been missing this? What's holding us back from looking at Christ with awe and amazement? I'm going to take a guess, but it's not just a guess. It's based on what we just read. We're missing it because we're not in the Word like we should be. We're not praying to God and pouring our hearts out to Him, and we're not staying devoted to the body of Christ. I don't know what your schedule looks like. I don't know how often you read the Word. I'm not going to come around and legalistically smack you on the hand every time you don't read the Bible. That's not what this is about. But God wants a thriving relationship with you. Of all people, He's pointing at you going, I love you. Read about me. Talk to me. Plug yourself into my body. And all of a sudden, we're going to see that this awe and signs and wonders and these awesome things start to happen because we're connecting with the God of all creation. And you can't connect with the God of all creation and see nothing happen. You don't stick your finger into a live electric socket and go, oh, that's fun. You buzz, you know what I'm saying? You buzz. It's full of power. Can't connect yourself into the power source of everything and go, oh, yeah, that's cool. You look and go, that is the God of the universe. And awe comes upon you. But you got to get in His Word and you got to pray and you got to stay connected so that the Holy Spirit can work through you. And Chance and I were talking, I told you about seeing Superman versus Batman this Friday. And we were like, man, for like 2 years now, Chance, it's been like 2 years probably or close to that. We've been like, more him than me because I'm lazy, but he Googles stuff, you know, and I'll Google stuff. We'll send it back and forth and text each other. Look what I found. I've been researching all day to find this one clip, Chance, or this one piece of information about the movie. And so we stopped in my office for a second. And we're like, it's finally here, bro. Like, it's finally here. And we just stopped and looked at each other like, but Jesus is coming back. How cool. Like, why are we not that excited right now? Why have we not been searching through Scripture crazy trying to find one awesome tidbit about God and going, Chance, check out what I found about Jesus. He's coming. He's almost back. This is exciting. Sometimes we get more excited about the junk in life. And we miss the most important thing, that Jesus Christ is real. And He's coming back, y'all. I want to leave you with this one story. Justin sent me something earlier. He was on Facebook or something. He's like nonstop on internet. So he like finds cool stuff. And I guess he saw a bunch of people were using this like weird. Can you guys show that picture real quick? This like this picture was showing up on everybody's profiles. Have you guys seen this? And so like all these good old boys, these like country boy kind of rednecks were like, conspiracy, it must be Obama. And they're like, everybody's turning into terrorists. So I'm like, what? So I get online, I'm start like researching it to find out the truth. And actually it's very, very far from what they said. In Iraq right now and in some other Muslim countries, the Al-Qaeda and the Taliban are going around to Christians' houses. And in the middle of the night, they'll take cans of spray paint and paint that symbol outside their house on their walls. So when they wake up, too late, it's already on your wall. Now everybody in town knows something about you, that you believe in Jesus. This is the letter N from the Arabic alphabet, which stands for Nazrani, which means Nazarene. Nazarene is a word for Christian. So they're going around basically just marking them, outing them as Christians in a culture that kills you for being a Christian. And they go and spray paint them on people's houses. You and I would probably go, whoa. Get out and scrub that off real quick, or like, I better hide. They don't have it in my house yet. I'm going to lay low. Well, some other Christians in the area saw that, and instead of hiding, scrubbing, they took spray paint cans, walked out to their own houses, and started spraying it all over their houses. I'm a Christian too. I'm a Christian too. I'm a Christian. That's right now. Tonight, there could be people with that being spray painted on their house. There could be people getting pulled out of their houses right now for that and being killed in the streets like dogs. They can't do what we're doing. What would make someone walk out and go, yeah, me too? I'll tell you what. They believe that Jesus is real. We could sit around and we could talk about it and sing songs about it, but until it really becomes real in our hearts, y'all, we're missing it. Do you believe Jesus is real tonight? Does He fill you with awe? Will you pray with me? Lord Jesus, we don't deserve You. Jordan read earlier, while we were sinners is when You died for us, Christ, and we thank You for that, Lord. Thank You that You've shown us the way to salvation, to have a relationship with a God who loves us, created us. Be real in our lives. Wake us up. Show us Yourself in a way we can't deny, so we truly live for You. We stop faking it and start truly believing You're real and You love us and You have power. God, help us. If there's people here tonight that don't believe in You, Christ Jesus, I pray You'd soften their heart. Holy Spirit, knock on the door of their heart and say, let me in. Believe in me. Let me forgive your sin. God, don't let them leave this place tonight without knowing You as their Savior. For the rest of us, Lord, I pray that You would be so real to us we can't deny it. That we wake up in the morning and we shout out, I'm a Christian! God, be real. Give us a faith that is unbreakable because we know the God who rules this universe. Father, we love You so much. With your eyes still closed, I just want to ask you guys a quick question. There's some new faces tonight, but I might not even be speaking to a new face when I ask this. I might be speaking to a face I see every single week. If you're here tonight and you're like, Rob, I haven't done that. Like, I don't know Jesus is real. I've never asked Him to forgive my sins. I want Him tonight to be real. Tonight, I want Him to be my God. How do I do that? If that's you tonight, will you just pop your hand up? Just stay right where you're at, but just slide your hand up so I can see it because I want to pray for you. See, I believe prayer works. If I could see your hand, I'd just pray for you over the next couple weeks. I see your hand. You can put that down. Is there anybody else tonight that says, I want to know Christ as my Savior? Will you just pop your hand up? I haven't done that yet. And if you're here tonight and you're just like, hey, I'm that other one. Like, I've been coming to church and stuff, but I'm not living in awe. I haven't been passionate about Jesus. I haven't been living like He's real, but I want to, Rob. Will you please pray for me? Can you just pop your hand up, please, so I can pray for you? I want to live for Him 100%. I see your hands. I'm going to be praying for you guys because I believe prayer works. I believe He hears. Will you just take a second, no matter where you're at tonight, pray for the people around you. There were some hands that went up. Will you be the body tonight? Pray for those hands right now, just quietly where you're at. I'm going to be quiet for a couple seconds and just let you pray. If you're serious, those of you who just raised your hand, you're serious tonight. You mean it. Will you please just talk to somebody before you leave? If you want to get up right now, walk to the back. There's some leaders back there who want to pray with you. And if you're not comfortable with that, don't leave this place tonight, please, without talking to somebody and saying, pray with me. Help me do this. Help me make this decision. Father, we love You and we pray You do this work that we can't do. Save these souls that want to. They want to know You as their Savior, God. The rest of us, help us to live for You. We get an opportunity to come up and sing one more song. And as you guys come up here, will you do one thing for me? If you're still like, man, I'm really not into this, will you just stay where you're at? You're good. But if you're serious tonight, you're serious, you want to come up here and you want to shout out, Jesus, You're awesome, and I want you to know it. I want to invite you to the stage. Come on up here and let's praise Jesus.